Welcome to SCOTUSCast. On March 25th, 2008, the court heard oral argument in United States v. Ressam. The court was asked whether 18 U.S.C. 1844 H2, which mandates 10 years in prison for carrying an explosive during the commission of a felony, requires explosives to be carried in relation to that underlying felony. William Otis, former chief of the Appellate Division in the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Virginia, discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Attorney Otis.
On Tuesday, the court heard argument in a case by the name of United States v. Ressam. That's known as the Millennium Bomber case. Ressam came across the border in Washington State from Canada. He looked suspicious and acted a little suspicious in the view of the customs agent who took him aside, and he gave nervous and not quite right answers to the questions he was asked. Eventually, they opened the trunk of his car and discovered in it explosives. He was arrested and charged in a 9-count indictment with being a participant in a plan to detonate these explosives at about the time of the millennium in the Los Angeles airport. And had that plan succeeded, hundreds of people would have been killed and additional hundreds would have been seriously injured. He was convicted on all 9 counts of the indictment, and the count that brought the case to the Supreme Court was one that alleged that during the commission of a federal felony, that is, his lying to the customs agent, he possessed explosives. Now, the possession of explosives charge added an additional 10-year mandatory minimum to his term. When the case went to the Ninth Circuit, that court, by a 2-to-1 vote, concluded that there must be a relational requirement in the explosive statute. That is, the court essentially read into the statute a requirement that during the commission of a federal felony, the defendant, in order to be criminally liable, had to possess explosives during and in relation to the underlying felony. The Supreme Court granted cert, and the question before it was whether the Ninth Circuit erred in reading this additional language into the statute. What made the case somewhat noteworthy, in addition to the fact that it was about a potentially quite serious terrorist plot, was that it was argued by Attorney General Mukasey. Mukasey started out by noting that the defendant's argument was a fairly straightforward one, essentially asking the court to rewrite the statute to add a requirement that Congress did not. Ordinarily, the Supreme Court is quite reluctant to do that, and its reluctance is not limited simply to the literalists on the court. It spreads more broadly than that to those on the court, which is a majority, who are reluctant to openly legislate from the bench. Mukasey's second point was that in writing this statute, the felon in possession of explosives during his commission of a federal felony, was something it wrote at about the same time as it wrote a similar statute, Section 924C, which makes it a crime for an individual to possess a firearm during and in relation to his commission of a federal felony. Attorney General Mukasey pointed out that what this showed was that when Congress wants to add a relational element, it knows how to do it. But instead of doing it in Section 844, which is the explosive statute, thus narrowing its reach, Congress instead had broadened the statute by deleting the previous language that imposed liability only when the defendant unlawfully possessed explosives. And this point was picked up by Justice Souter, who noted that to the extent Congress had changed the language in the statute, it did so to broaden rather than narrow its reach. The court, particularly Justices Scalia and Kennedy, were interested in asking the Attorney General about some of the hypotheticals that defense counsel had written about in his brief. Defense counsel had said, for example, what about if you just have someone who's calling his accountant on his cell phone to essentially lie on his tax returns, and while doing that, has gasoline in the tank of his car. Now, gasoline can be viewed as an explosive. The term explosive is broadly defined in the statute, and Justice Scalia wanted to know whether that kind of thing would be covered by this statute. Justice Kennedy chimed in asking what safeguard there was that this kind of absurd result could not be obtained under the statute. And the Attorney General's answer was that we were not dealing with a new statute, that we had 20 years experience with Section 844, the felon in possession of explosives statute, and that in all that time there had never been an example, anything like that. Fourth, the Attorney General said that even if a relational requirement were engrafted onto the statute by the court, the government would actually still win because there was a relationship between Rassam's lying about his real name and his carrying explosives. The relationship was, in particular, that he needed to conceal his identity in order to get into the country to use the explosives to blow up the Los Angeles airport. So it turned out, in the Attorney General's view, that the defendant was doing more than arguing that the statute should be read to contain the words, quote, and in relation to. Instead, his real argument was that the statute should be read to contain the words and to help facilitate the underlying felony. But those words are not only absent from the related statute, 924C, they're absent from any federal statute in this area. And Justice Breyer made this point along with Justice Alito. Justice Breyer said in particular that he, for one, was satisfied that there was some kind of relational element in this statute in 844, but that the relational element was satisfied here. In other words, it appeared that at least two of the justices believe that the defendant's argument, even taken in its own terms, was something of a linguistic bait and switch, that although ostensibly the defendant was arguing for the judicial insertion into the statute of the words and in relation to, actually he was arguing for a phrase that Congress has never considered and never added to this statute or 924 or any similar statute. Mukasey appeared to have a good time in the argument. Well, it's often said that when the Attorney General appears in the Supreme Court, he is treated the same as any other litigant who appears in that forum. I think for the most part that was true, but it did seem from the argument that the justices were entertained by Mukasey's argument, or argument in which the Attorney General didn't back off and seemed quite well prepared, as one would expect, with what he wanted to say to the court.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.